ready? You're just starting. We're just starting chapter 13, Serotonin. We're going to make some significant progress today. We are a little behind a chapter or so from our schedule. We're going to catch up. I've got that quick take-home quiz is going to be due Monday of this coming week. And then we're going to postpone the test. The test is supposed to be Monday. Any material that we will look at on Monday and Wednesday will not be on the test. So everything we cover today, we're going to pretend the test is Monday. Any material we cover today will be on the test, but any material we cover on Monday, on Friday today, will be on the test. On Monday and Wednesday, it will not be. We'll have the test on Friday. I'll be gone again on Friday, the last time this semester I'll be gone. And so I'll also be gone on Monday, but we'll have to figure that one out a little later. And this stuff must not be plugged in. All right, here we go. That would account for how easy it was to move it around. Let's pray, shall we? Dear Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for the cold air. Thank you for Canada. We're thankful also for this life and for friendship and for rest and renewal that comes with a Sabbath day. Lord, we seek that we would take advantage of that time and reconnect with our friends and family in a special way and let them know that we love them and are glad that they are a part of our lives. Be with us in this class, in Jesus' name, amen. Oklahoma, all right, okay, let's get started, shall we? I think we finished up right here. I'm not going to adjust this. You'll just have to look against that one wall. So we're looking at serotonin. Don't you just love that the rat brain has lots of serotonin in it? It's rats are very content. They're always hungry, but they're very content animals. You'll see here, at least in the brainstem of rats, there's a variety of cell types that have been identified. Locus coeruleus, gigantocellular nucleus of reticular formation. You got it right there. Substantia nigra type of cell. Then you get these nuclei of the Raphe nuclei. These are all at the base of the brain in both humans and in rats. And these cell types extend their efferent axons both down toward the cord and up toward the brain. You could also see here where there are brain cell types like this locus coeruleus, which if you look at it in a different type of diagram, you can see where it ends. You can see where it ends right here. So here's the brain stem. It's basically like this is the side view here. This is the... this is focused on the brainstem. This is actually looks at the brainstem and how it interacts with the rest of the brain and the rat. And you can see where those the axons extend into a large variety of regions in the rat brain. So these things release norepinephrine. There are other types that release dopamine, other types that release serotonin. And that just means that these regions of these brains, like ours, or ours like theirs, are bathed in these neurotransmitters. Just kind of like there's a generalized region that's got a higher concentration of these neurotransmitters. So, and there are other neurotransmitters that exist, and there are some probably that have not even been found yet. So it's an interesting situation. The take-home message from this is that neurotransmitters are not simply between synapses, but neurotransmitters can exist in regions of the brain and affect the behavior of entire groups of cells in a kind of a generalized form. Serotonin, all these hormones / neurotransmitters such as these, thus modify gross behavior. For example, like serotonin is known, higher levels of serotonin are known to negate the effects of depression. And so depression is a behavior that stems from changes in a wide variety of regions of the brain, not just one. So having the fact that the serotonin is elevated throughout the brain helps with that. All right, so take-home message. These neurotransmitters not only act between synapses, but are also released by specific types of cells in specific regions of the brain. Yes? Yeah.
Response.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes. Yep. Well, the serotonin is the serotonin in the generalized region of the brain is affecting a variety of cell types in that region. Not all cells. That is the incredible complexity that comes from the unique distribution of the receptors. So the whole process of having some sort of neuron response requires the neurotransmitter and the receptor, and the receptor in these generalized regions of the brain. I'm going to draw some, but I could probably say it just as easily. So if we take a look at our frontal cortex, for example, there may be dozens of types of cells up there. And I'm not a brain anatomist, so I don't know the number. Let's say 25. Perhaps 24 of them, 22 of them, 19 of them have serotonin receptors as a part of it. And so when serotonin is released, they are affected by that. It could be that the behavior of the receptor when it links to the ligand serotonin may vary between cell types. So one cell may be stimulated by the presence of serotonin. Other cell types might be inhibited by the presence of serotonin.
So it just works its way down to the presynaptic cleft?
Yeah, these receptors don't have to be on the presynaptic cleft. Matter of fact, they're probably on the dendrite side of the presynapse, or along even perhaps of the cell body. Though the exact location of the receptors I've not studied in terms of that. I'm saying that they don't have to work its way into the synaptic cleft, as it were. You can have a cell that's responsive to serotonin. It has the ligand. None of those receptors have to be in the synaptic cleft that occurs between the presynaptic neuron and the dendrite. It doesn't have to. Yeah. Was that helpful? Or sort of? Okay. So there's a lot of extra information here that you need to know. I'm going to check off what you do need to know. I want you to know that norepinephrine acts on the locus coeruleus. Okay, you don't need to know that specific region that excites the brain, initiates or stimulates dreaming. Dreaming is thought to be related to norepinephrine. Dopamine is a part of the substantia nigra, which is a cell group of cells
you don't need to know that, you don't need to know that. You do need to know that it's inhibitory transmitter in the basal ganglia. So if you see dopamine in these basal ganglia, these are ganglia that exist outside of the spinal cord and so on, they may be inhibitory. Now, the serotonin and the Raphe nuclei are important. This focus on this. So Raphe nuclei and serotonin, serotonin is secreted by Raphe nuclei. You don't need to know where it's midline to. You don't need to know where the fibers extend to. You do need to know that it appears to be diffuse in some areas, as I've mentioned with some of these other neurotransmitters. They bathe the cell in serotonin. You're feeling somewhat, you have a feeling of, you have blanks to fill in here, don't you? Oh, I'm just checking this stuff off, aren't I? I got to slow down a little bit, don't I?
If I put an X next to it, don't write it down, okay? If I put an X next to it, you don't have to write that down. So you don't have to write this down or that down or that down. Just whatever I check mark. All right. Do I need to pull this back? Did you guys get all of it? You don't. There's like only a page of this fill-in stuff that you have to know. Is it a page? Maybe less than a page. Page. Oh. There's a bunch. On four. At any rate, we got to get going. So the serotonin and Raphe nuclei are important. There's a relationship there. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Can I go on? Okay. All right. Again, don't write anything down that I X. It's irrelevant. If you want it, I'll copy this overhead. I think you have to have it now. There's some evidence that serotonin participates in pain suppression. That if you are having a feeling of well-being, you can handle a higher degree of pain threshold or have a higher pain threshold than if you are not feeling well. This is why if you are depressed and you have a reduced level of serotonin being secreted in the certain regions of the brain, you just feel like you ache all over. It's a self amplifying situation, auto feedback. Not having enough serotonin causes you to feel more of your aches and pains. More of those aches and pains feed into the fact that you don't have enough serotonin. It suppresses it even more. So it's a real kind of it's a kind of a catch-22. You just can't get out of it. So, at any rate, so here's this Raphe nuclei right here, and they extend down through the brainstem into the spinal cord, and they release serotonin, which stimulates these enkephalin neurons. These enkephalin neurons, in turn, secrete enkephalon, which suppresses the signaling that come in from the pain fibers. And this is called a presynaptic pain inhibition. Analgesia system of the brain and spinal cord, showing inhibition of incoming pain signals at the cord level in the presence of enkephalin-secreting neurons. Depressed pain signals in both the cord and the brain stem. But these enkephalin-secreting neurons are themselves modified by the terminating axons of these Raphe nuclei, which are secreting serotonin. So that's how pain, that's one small part of pain suppression. If women who are able to withstand, have a greater level of pain threshold, they are thought to either be more sensitive to there's a wide variety of mechanisms, but part of it is they think serotonin has a role to play in it. That when you're about ready to give birth, serotonin levels in your body are relatively high. And therefore, you're not feeling as much pain, although it's still very painful. If you did not have that, it would be even more painful. But modern medicine has made childbirth remarkably
pain-free, and also remarkably good in its outcomes. They're not, babies are not dying nearly as much as they used to in childbirth, or nor are mothers. It was not unusual at all in a man's life to have two, maybe three wives, many of them having died in childbirth. So, at any rate, this is normal sleep. If the Raphe nuclei themselves are stimulated, almost normal sleep occurs. They secrete serotonin. Serotonin blockers prevent sleep. So these are all pieces of information that you need to know. Normal sleep. You need serotonin to sleep. I know of right. They're cranky only because. Well, there's a wide variety of reasons why they get cranky. Not all of them are related to serotonin. Serotonin is not the only neurotransmitter. There are just dozens of neurotransmitters that are interplaying simultaneously to provide for wakefulness, awareness, sense of well-being, sense of anxiety, this kind of a thing. I know two cases personally in which people who suffering with apparent mild forms of depression began, had a hard time sleeping. And they began to take certain, especially SERTs, serotonin reuptake, SSRIs, like Zoloft and so on, Xanax. Valium, that it took small amounts of that, began, and as that material began to build up in their bodies and in their brains, they began to sleep better because serotonin is necessary to have some level of sleep. So serotonin blockers prevent sleep. Now, this is your goal, but blood concentration serotonin lower during sleep than wakefulness. This is the idea that serotonin can both be a neurotransmitter and a hormone. Yes. You may, in order to initiate sleep, have to have certain regions of the brain have a minimum level of serotonin. But that doesn't mean there's going to be elevated levels throughout the entire body and in the circulatory system. As you fall asleep, your whole body quiets. And so there are regions of the body that are secreting serotonin as a neurotransmitter, as opposed to a generalized hormone, and overall body levels, blood concentrations actually are lower in sleep than wakefulness, but in regions of the brain that require at higher levels of serotonin to initiate that sleeping process. Here is how you can synthesize it. This is serotonin. As you can see, serotonin, you can almost immediately see that the structure of it is very similar to tryptophan. And that's actually the starting building block for tryptophan. Is imported into the cell. Oxygen comes in under the influence of tryptophan hydrolase. There's also some reducing power that has to come in, and probably NADPH. And the combination of the oxygen, the reducing power, and this enzyme put a hydroxy group on that benzene ring. Those of you who had organic chemistry know that's impressive to be able to do that, put a hydroxy group directly onto a benzene ring. I don't know of any non-enzymatic process that allows you to directly attach a hydroxy group into a benzene. Do you guys know of any? From organic chemistry? Okay. So then you've got more reducing power called NADPH. And, this material is then called 5-hydroxytryptophan, called 5-HTP. 5-HTP. 5-HTP.
Reaction is something prime
That's actually an H. Hydrogen ion comes in, reducing power.
Yeah, sorry. Where? This thing right here? You're saying matcha?
That's cool. I think it says inactive. Inactive. Is that any better? Other name. No, I know. What is the other name for this? Remember this enzyme? AAPC? What is the other name for it? There is another name. Remember, this is the one that's in the circulatory system. There's another one that was found in a in a cell.
All right, at any rate, so aromatic amino acid decarboxylase. You get this reduced, you get rid of that carbon dioxide. Notice you get carbon dioxide come off. Here's the structure of serotonin. It's also given the term 5-HT. 5-HT. You're going to see 5-HT and serotonin used interchangeably. You need to recall the structure of serotonin. You need to recall the structure of serotonin. Now, serotonin's got a couple different fates. Here's this monoamine oxidase. What is the abbreviation for a monoamine oxidase?
M-A-O.
MAO. So what if you have a compound that's an inhibitor of a monoamine oxidase? What's its abbreviation? You have a compound that's an inhibitor of monoamine oxidase. What is its abbreviation? MAOI. All right? So, now then, when you look at drug ads on TV, and it says, not to be taken with MAOIs, what does that mean? You're taking another drug that's acting on this monoamine oxidase. So this is a degradation pathway right here that inactivates serotonin if it's in a cell. This monoamine oxidase is attached to what subcellular organelle?
Mitochondria.
The aldehyde dehydrogenase, I don't know exactly where that is. Apparently it's somewhere in the cell, but you get this 5-hydroxyindole acetic acid, and it does not have, or if it has any, it has very low activity relative to a serotonin inhibitor, serotonin response. If you're in a pineal gland, so serotonin has a slightly different fate if you're in a particular cell type. So this is a generalized breakdown of the serotonin that probably exists in any cell that secretes serotonin and has a way to break it down. The pineal gland, which is another gland somewhere in the base of your brain, actually has another enzyme that changes this into an N-acetyl serotonin and another enzyme that turns it into a melatonin. This is not the stuff that deals with the pigment color. What pigment? What's a pigment name? What? Yeah. This is not this. This has to do with jet lag. That is circadian rhythm. Oh, no, I can't spell rhythm. I never have been able to spell rhythm. How do you spell rhythm? All right. R-H-Y-T-H what?
M.
Okay. Is that right? Rhythm. I mean, who has, what there's, there are six letters in this, one pseudo vowel. Okay, maybe that's why I can't spell it. Rhythm.
Okay, so, circadian rhythm.
So people take compounds that seem, when they're trying to get over jet lag, that seem to secrete or enhance the secretion, or they actually take melatonin to try to help with getting their serotonin, getting their circadian rhythm back online. But it is a material that comes from serotonin. So if you have temporarily in your life, if you have altered serotonin levels, what's that going to do for your what? Circadian rhythm, it's going to mess it up some. So notice the sleep, circadian rhythm. I got rhythm, I got rhythm. Hey, all right, so. Sources and transport of tryptophan. Where do you get tryptophan? Cell conch related to plasma conch. So, cellular concentration is related to the plasma concentration, which means that if you have low levels of tryptophan in your blood, you're going to have low levels of tryptophan in your cells. That can be a problem. There is actually a facilitated carrier. So the transport is brought in. There's a carrier that brings in tryptophan, which is considered to be a neutral or nonpolar amino acid. It also can bring in valine and phenylalanine. Also brings in valine and phenylalanine. All right. And as I mentioned earlier, low plasma concentration produces low cellular concentration of tryptophan. Okay. What they do in clinical studies is the following. They can create a diet that produces a high ratio of neutral amino acid to tryptophan so that the carrier is primarily used to carry the neutral amino acids, not the tryptophan. And so they can do that. They can give you a complete diet so you're not hungry, but they do so in such a way that it produces low tryptophan levels in your cells, which then in turn produces low 5-HT. And so this low tryptophan are used for clinical studies. If you want to study depression, you want to study the effect of serotonin on circadian rhythms, blah, 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 they can create a diet in a clinical situation that gives you low tryptophan in your bloodstream, which makes low tryptophan in your cells, which gives you a low level of serotonin. I'd like to get a low level of serotonin. I'd just like to see what that'd be like. Because I have a feeling that I'm blessed with a little extra serotonin or something, or my receptors are particularly sensitive to serotonin. Especially about 8 o'clock in the morning, don't you think, ladies and gentlemen? Huh?
He just comes in so it just is irritating.
Okay. Enzyme characteristics. This is the tryptophan hydrolase. Another name for tryptophan hydrolase is L-tryptophan 5 monooxygenase. Interestingly enough, it's almost a marker for serotonin. It exists only in cells that have serotonin in them. So 5-HT, so is the serotonin, is abbreviation for serotonin. So if you have that enzyme, you have serotonin. If you have serotonin, if you have it, you should be able to find this enzyme in it. The enzyme requires oxygen and reduced pteridine. One is used to form the 5-HTP precursor. The other forms, the other oxygen of the two forms water. Km is about 30 to 60 micromolar. That's pretty low Km. But even at that low KM, this enzyme is not saturated, from what they've been able to tell in the studies. So what will happen is, if you can get more dietary tryptophan into your bloodstream, you're probably going to find that you're going to have slightly more serotonin in your cells. Of course, rumor has it that turkey meat is supposed to have above average level of tryptophan as an amino acid. I used to say that all the time. I've heard people claim otherwise. So, but it fits nicely into the model. You know, everybody has a big old turkey dinner for Thanksgiving, and what happens an hour or two later? Everybody's sleeping, and so it fits kind of a model in which the extra tryptophan in the turkey meat causes a rise in serotonin in the blood levels, which triggers sleepiness. Yes? Oh, KM, the KM, that should be a capital M. This is the Michaelis-Menten constant. KM is the Michaelis-Menten constant. Supposed to be a capital M, so it's capital K, subscripted, upper capital M, Michaelis-Menten constant. Again, what is the operational definition of KM? If the substrate concentration equals the value of KM, then what? You just said it. The velocity is at 1/2 Vmax. Exactly correct. Woo-hoo! All right, now, this particular enzyme appears to be the rate-limiting step. If you use the suicide inhibitor, perichlorophenylalanine, PCPA, which binds, captures, and deactivates the enzyme permanently until another enzyme can be formed, that lowers the serotonin concentration long term. So this appears to be the rate limiting step. Next you have this. Yeah? What happened?
The trees start like sending out this hormone.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, this is a movie.
Yeah,
Happening. What's the name of the movie?
The Happening.
The Happening.
It's Mark Wahlberg. Yeah.
Is it really?
Not really that scary. It's just like, I don't want to give.
But the trees began to send out a hormone that killed people, huh?
Yeah.
Nice. Yes, the term suicide inhibitor. That refers to the suicide of the reaction. In other words, this is a permanently bound, permanent deactivation. That's why it's called a suicide inhibitor. The compound binds permanently to the enzyme, and then the enzyme and the inhibitor are then destroyed by mechanisms within the cell. Aromatic amino acid decarboxylase. Again, this one is, if you recall, it's dependent on pyridoxine, which is a cofactor. This you find in catecholaminergic neurons too, dopamine. pH optimum varies. I don't know why that's important. I don't think it is important. Cofactor concentration varies as well, so that has an effect on it.
And this enzyme is not saturated with the with its substrate. It's got a Km of 10 micromolar. I mean, the stuff is hardly there in the body, but there it is. 10 micromolar gives you Km. That Km is actually a capital M. Capital M Km, again, a Michaelis-Menten constant. Now, let me see what you have actually in your hand. Oh, never mind, you don't have that. Okay. That's C. Then D. Okay. I want you to, here you go. This is an interesting idea. This is D. Administering 5-HTP raises the 5-HT concentration. This occurs in cells that don't have serotonin. So the enzymes exist to produce 5-HT. In other words, this enzyme exists in cells, but they're lacking the precursor to make the serotonin. Well, that makes sense. So if you don't have the precursor for making the serotonin, you're not going to make the serotonin. When I typed in 5-HTP into the computer, guess how it abbreviated 5-HTP? It helped me a little bit. And what did it do? HTTP. What does HTTP stand for? Does anybody know? Yes. All right, are you ready to learn something that the 90% of the people, this is called hypertext transfer protocol.
Just need a reminder.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Novak, what's the answer to this question on this test? Q. Oh, I knew that. I just needed a reminder. Brother. All right, let's all say it together. Hypertext.
Hypertext.
Transfer. Protocol. All right, so now you know what it all means. And apparently 90% of the world that you live in is dependent on the hypertext transfer protocol. Or else, what does WWW stand for? Yeah. Exactly. I have no idea. Or whole wheat bread or something like that. I know it'd be a B. WWW. At any rate, I've seen WWW before in a cafeteria line or something. It turned out to be bread, and I don't know how they did it. Anyway, plasticity. Do you produce the same amount of serotonin or other neurotransmitters every day in the same way all your life? No. Okay. Men and women are subject to hormonal variations. So there are short-term or long-term conformations of activity to demands, is how they say that. And that's called plasticity of the cell, of the body. Your body is plastic. It's Play-Doh. Okay? Muscles that are weak and toneless. If you mold them taking exercise and doing exercise, they will alter. They'll be plastic. You can mold them into a fighting machine. If your lungs have a low efficiency in transferring oxygen, you begin to stress them. They have plasticity. You allow them to adapt. Okay, so that's what's going on here. Right. Yeah, it's not plastic, but yeah, you're right. It's, you know, if you talk about plastic as being a polymer, you're made up of basically polymers. Okay, so you can actually, with serotonin, you can actually get increased secretion with increased demand. You can actually manipulate your serotonin levels by your behavior. Physicians and others who work in this, pharmacists and so on, know this. And so many times, if you have some sort of depressive episode in your life, they ask you to make some changes in your behavior. They ask you to begin eating
regularly, because if you are depressed, you don't want to eat. They ask you to go to bed at the same time, to get regular exercise, and try to manipulate the behaviors of your body to regulate your serotonin levels. And they also many times ask you to begin to consume B vitamins, which are a part of the production of tryptophan and so on. So there's a wide variety of things you can have. Apparently, increased levels of calcium increase the conversion of tryptophan to 5-HTP. Now, where do you find high levels of calcium being released? Under what kind of activity do you find that? When do you release calcium in a voluntary manner that you can control? Muscles. Muscles. In other words, that, you know, in order to trigger movement, the nerve comes down to the muscle junction and it releases, and then calcium is released from the sarcoplasmic reticulum and initiates conformation of the, what's the name of the proteins? Troponin and tropomyosin. I think something like that. They have calmodulin cassettes in them. They bind calcium. That higher level of calcium can, in turn, even though that's interior in the cell, that can change levels of calcium in adjacent cells as well. Okay. Now, how much of this do you have to fill out? Oh, it's all filled out for you, so we can really go along. All right, so you need to know all of this. Next page. Okay. Look at this. Dietary tryptophan levels influence serotonin levels in the brain. Does that make sense? Say yes. Synthesis is not feedback inhibited. In other words, the fact that you've got higher levels of serotonin doesn't prevent the production of more serotonin. Short-term requirements. Apparently, there's some sort of calcium dependency of the tryptophan hydrolase. So, now again, that tryptophan hydrolase, is that at the beginning or the end of the of the pathway for production of serotonin? It's at the beginning. That's correct. Storage. Now, as a neurotransmitter, serotonin is also stored in vesicles. But serotonin is also released kind of like as a generalized, it can seep out, as it were, of the cell. It can seep out. So this is not the only mechanism where serotonin gets into the body. Storage. So vesicles similar to CA. Anybody remember what CA is? Catecholamines. That's correct. Name a catecholamine. Yeah. Drugs that block vesicle transport deplete the cells of serotonin, reserpine, terbinafine. You don't want to take these drugs if you are depressed, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Plasma membrane and vesicular transport are typically not blocked by the same compound, but for serotonin, serotonin is affected, levels of serotonin are affected by a material called fenfluramine. And this fenfluramine is an anorectic agent. Anorectic agent. Can someone tell me what does a compound do if it is classified as an anorectic agent? An anorectic agent is likely to produce anorexia. Now, what is anorexia? I wish I had a little more anorexia, but I don't. Well, yeah, it can be an eating. I mean, it's a part of an eating disorder, but anorexia is the loss of body weight, many times involuntarily, and many times also to the extreme. Now, there is a psychological condition called anorexia nervosa, in which young girls, because of body conscious or body image issues, drive themselves literally to the edge of death by not eating. Or if they do eat, they eat in front of their parents and then they go throw it up.
And guys too?
Guys too? You're kidding. All right, so, well, there you go. I know people who are wrestlers, men who are wrestlers, do something stupid like that. But they're all right. Well, it doesn't.
Men that are wrestlers, they take steroids. That sounds
yeah, steroids. Really big muscles.
I don't know for sure if they take steroids, but there's rumors going around.
Oh, sure. Really big really big muscles, really small testicles. Okay? True. Absolutely true. They lose, if they're taking anabolic steroids and they take them inappropriately, they see changes in other hormones, and their testicles shrink. Okay, and they lose the ability sometimes to even get erections. At any rate, so the fenfluramine has an action, apparently attacks certain either transporters or receptors of serotonin. And if you took fenfluramine, you would drop rate. You would drop weight quickly. You could take fenfluramine, lose 10 pounds in a month. That's about 2.5 pounds a week, and continue to eat all the spaghetti and pizza and barbecue that you want. It's a miracle drug. Except for the fact that it destroys your heart arteries. And the only cure there is a lung and heart transplant. They discovered that the hard way. This fenfluramine was allowed to be used for certain types of diseases. This fenteramine right here is it's an amphetamine that is highly effective for reducing appetite. And so there were physicians in the 80s who were prescribing a combination of this fenteramine and fenfluramine. And so these really overweight people were dropping because you was an anorexic agent and you didn't feel like eating. They were dropping 20, 30 pounds a month. It was just remarkable. They were thrilled, except 10 to 15% of them would get this extraordinarily bad disease that had destroyed the heart arteries and muscles around it. And they had very, very, very high blood pressure because it hardened the arteries. And every time the heart pumped, there was no give in the arteries and the blood pressure just jumped. And again, the only cure for that was a heart and lung transplant. And there were men and women who died from it. We'll continue this on Monday, but this ends the test, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the take-home quiz actually gets into this. Go ahead and answer it. You will not find it too difficult to answer what you find on that take-home test, on take-home quiz, even though we are not going to go over it for the test. We will go over it on Monday. All right, thank you very much. Yes? Which can... Oh, yeah, it was... Yes, what did I do with this?